You know, I like it when you clap at the first see, you know, because you may not at the end, so hey, that's good. All right, well, take your Bibles, please. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1, very familiar book of the Bible. And, you know, it's been great to be with you. I've enjoyed your service today, and I've really been blessed by the music and the testimonies. And, you know, your pastor is really funny. Did you know that? I mean, he really is. He is a great, great guy. I like that. I like somebody with a good sense of humor. And so that's fantastic. But you know, it is good to be with you today. And seriously, I'm glad to be with you, even though when the pastor called, he said, you know, I've tried 350 people, couldn't get anybody else. Could you come? And so, you know, but still, it's great to be here with you. You know, I don't really consider myself an evangelist. I'm a seminary professor. I have pastored three churches before that, and a bunch of interim churches and preached in bunches of churches. And I have done revivals and so forth. But you know, I believe God wanted me to come here. That's why I couldn't get anybody else. And so God wanted me to come here, and so he has something for me to share and something for you to hear. And so I'm glad to be here with you today. And I've preached in a lot of places all around in the area, DeSoto County, but I've never preached here. As a matter of fact, I've driven by your building zillions of times, and I never exaggerate, but many, many times, countless times, and I've never been inside, so it's very nice to come in, see you folks, and you have a beautiful place here, and so just very, very nice, and the people have been very friendly. I'm very impressed with the people here in the church and the spirit of the church. You know, when you go to a place, you don't have to know anything about people to sense the spirit of a church. And again, I've been in bunches and bunches and bunches and bunches of different churches. And you know, you can just walk in and you can just tell if God's at work, if there's a freedom for the Spirit to work. And I sense that here in this church. And so I'm glad to be here. It's great to be here. Now, this morning, I want to speak to you from the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah's been called the first foreign missionary because he took God's message to a foreign land. According to 1 Kings chapter 14, verses 23 through 25, Jonah was a prophet who preached during the reign of a king of Israel, king in the north, called Jeroboam II. Now, Jeroboam II reigned from about 793 to 753, just to give you an idea, the setting when Jonah preached. Sometime in there is when we have this account took place. And so almost 800 years before the time of Christ is when Jonah went to Nineveh and the events in this book occurred. Now, you know, Jonah is really a controversial book. Some people have a problem with the historicity of this book. For them, the big fish story is just a little bit too much for them to swallow. But you know, Jesus referred to Jonah's ministry in Matthew chapter 12, verses 39 through 41, and Matthew 16, 4, and then in the parallel passages in the gospel. And Jesus referred to Jonah being in the belly of the fish, which is, you know, real controversial. Some people are skeptical of that. But Jesus specifically referred to Jonah being 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. He also referred to the fact that Jonah went to Nineveh and those people repented, which is something else that some people are very skeptical of occurring. And yet Jesus said that it was so. And so Jesus spoke of Jonah, and Jesus spoke of the story told in the book of Jonah as an historical account. Jesus believed Jonah lived. Jesus believed these things happened. And so, you know, really, if a person has a problem with the book of Jonah, their problem is not with me. Their problem is with the Lord Jesus himself and the authority of the Lord Jesus himself. And so keep that in mind. By the way, I heard of a lady years ago who was riding on a train. And she was sitting there reading her Bible. And as she was reading her Bible, a skeptic was sitting across the aisle. He thought he'd have some fun with this little Christian lady. And so he looked at her. He said, "Lady, you believe that book?" She said, "I certainly do." He said, "Do you believe it all?" She said, "I certainly do. I believe every word of it." And he said, "Well, what about that story about Jonah being swallowed by that big fish? You believe that?" She said, I certainly do." And he said to her, "Well, how do you explain that?" She said, "Well, you know, I really don't know all about how to explain it, but when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." And so the guy sitting there, you know, just sort of smiled and a smirk on his face. He looked over at her and said, "Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven?" She said, "Well, then I guess you'll just have to ask him yourself." But Jonah is true according to the Lord Jesus. Now, interestingly, Jonah lived in a little town that was located just 3 miles from where Jesus grew up in Nazareth. So I'm sure Jesus spent time in Jonah's hometown. And so he probably played in the area as a child and spent time working in that area. And so Jonah lived just about in the same place where Jesus lived. By the way, you know the theme of the book of Jonah. Now, I can't remember if I read this somewhere or if a student told me. Now, you know, I've learned a lot of things from my students. But someone has said the theme of Jonah is you can't keep a good man down. That's the theme of the book. But still, this morning, I want us to look at Jonah and see what God has to say to us from it. Now, there are a number of ways to approach the book of Jonah. But what I want to do today is I want us to look and see why we should go to a lost world. Now, that's what Jonah did. God sent Jonah to a lost world. And why should we, in 2014, why should we go to a lost world and take the good news? Well, we should do it for the same reasons that Jonah was to go to Nineveh almost 2,800 years ago. All right, number one, we're to go to a lost world. And by the way, if you want a great revival, that's what you're going to have to do. And my prayer is that this won't be just a church revival. Look, what we want Christians to be spiritually renewed. But what we want is more than that. We want a spiritual awakening. And so we want a spiritual awakening that will begin here in this church and spread to DeSoto County and spread throughout our nation and our world. Dear friend, that is our world's only hope. What they need is a spiritual awakening. What we need in America is a spiritual awakening that will affect every part of this country. It's happened in the past. I believe God can do it again. That is what we need. And if we're going to have it, this is what we've got to do. All right, now why did God send Jonah to Nineveh? Number one, and why should we go? Number one, we should go because of the Lord's command. Look in Jonah chapter 1 and verses 1 through 2. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up to me." God told Jonah to get up and go, to leave Galilee, where he lived, and go to a foreign city and share his message. And folks, God's command to us today, to every person in this room today, is for us to get up to go. Jonah was to go to the lost city of Nineveh, and the Lord is sending us to a lost world, to our communities, to our city, to our state, our nation, and the world. And by the way, as you know, Jesus Christ gave the so-called Great Commission five times, four times in the gospel, one time in Acts. I have a feeling, I mean, it just sounds to me like that Jesus really meant it. I mean, if he repeated it four times in the Gospels and then in the Acts, it sounded like Jesus was serious. Now, I want you to see a second thing. Not only should we go because of the Lord's command, but secondly, we need to go because lost people, that is unbelievers, are not going to come to us. Now, listen. There probably weren't many Ninevites in Gath Hepher. That's the little town Jonah lived in. You know, Jonah probably didn't run into many Ninevites at the local Walmart. You know, he probably didn't see too many when he had lunch there at Nukes, in Gath Hepher. They weren't there. Jonah had to go to them. And I want to ask you, how many lost people, unbelievers, do you think are in the average church service on a Sunday morning in DeSoto County? Dear friend, there may be a handful. There may be a few, but I guarantee you there are not many in those services. And on a Sunday night, it is more bleak probably. Most churches in DeSoto County who have a Sunday night service probably don't have one single lost person in the service. Listen, there may be have been a day in America, especially in the South, when you could put a sign out and say, revival this week, and people would flock to the church and people would be saved right and left. But if those days ever existed, they are long gone. Today, we have to go out where the people are and we have to tell them about Jesus. We can't just sit around the house. We can't just sit here in the church service and think, man, this is comfortable and this is nice and this is fun and it's great to fellowship with all our buddies and all of that. We're all going to heaven. That's great. Folks, we've got to get out of the church house and we've got to get out to where the people are and share the gospel with them because they're not coming here. Now, listen, that is the pattern. That is the model. That's the paradigm that Jesus set for us. What did Jesus himself do? Jesus didn't get an office building in Jerusalem and just tell people, okay, if you want to talk to me about going to heaven, then make an appointment with a secretary. And so, you know, I'll be working from 10 to 11 on Mondays. And so get an appointment, come see me, I'll tell you how you can go to heaven. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus, the scripture says, went to the villages and went to the towns. He went all over the nation sharing the gospel and sharing with people even beyond how they could come to know the Lord as their personal Lord and Savior. That's the pattern for us. And then I want you to see a third thing. Not only should we go because the Lord has commanded us to go, not only should we go because this is the pattern because people are not going to come to us, but third, we need to go because of the great need. Folks, we live in a lost world, and it is getting loster, it seems, by the minute, doesn't it? I mean, the scripture says here in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. This was a wicked, lost city. And notice the Lord calls it that great, great city. And it wasn't great spiritually, but it was great in a worldly, from a worldly standpoint. It was large. And Jonah tells us later in the book that there were 120,000 people, at least, in the city. People didn't know the right from the left, spiritual darkness, maybe. Or maybe they were children. If children, it was bigger than that. But it was a large city. It was a magnificent city. It was a leading city of the day. And later on, under Sennacherib, became a magnificent, even more magnificent city. It was a great city. It took 3 days to see the place, the scripture says. And they had 120,000 people at least. But they had a problem. The problem with these people is that they were lost. And folks, we live in a world just like that. We live in a lost world. Do you know that in Jesus' day, there were only 250 million people on the planet, on planet Earth, 250 million people less than the population of the United States. When I checked the International Mission Board's website yesterday, they have what they call the unfinished task clock. And what it does, it shows the population growth of the world. And you ought to go there, do a search and find it. But it shows the population growth of the world on a daily basis, on a yearly basis, and in real time, the total in real time. And you see, it's just ticking away, people being added to our world population. And as I checked yesterday, the population of planet Earth at 250 yesterday afternoon, it's more than that now. There are about 250,000 people born every day, if I figured it right. But as of yesterday, 7,055,268,661 people on planet Earth. They figure 765 million people are people who have heard and believed the gospel. They figure that there are about 36% of people who have heard the gospel but not believe, but 53% of the world's population, according to our Southern Baptist Convention research, they believe that there are the people lacking an adequate opportunity to hear the gospel and believe are 53% of the world's population. Over 3,740 million people. And folks, in other words, 89% of the world's population is lost, according to these statistics. Only 11% are saved, and 53% are in places where they don't even have an opportunity to hear the gospel. We need to go to those people and share the gospel. That is the plan that the Apostle Paul, speaking for the Holy Spirit, gives to us in Romans chapter 10. And what about Christian America? Our North American Mission Board estimates, and by the way, they do this through research, through polling and surveys, not just arbitrary figures, but they estimate that 60% of the people in the United States are lost. That's over 180 million people. In DeSoto County, there are over 166,000 people. And by the way, this ought to make the youth people, it ought to encourage you, almost 30% of them are 17 and under. Under 18 years of age, 17 and under, 30%. That's a lot of young people who need to be reached for the gospel. And if we're going to change the world, we've got to reach the children. We've got to reach the young people before it is too late. But I would be shocked if in every church in DeSoto County there were 50,000 people in anybody's church. I would be absolutely blown away if that were true. Folks, I want to tell you, sometimes churches, you know, feel like they got to compete for each other. Listen, there are 100,000 people out there probably not going anywhere. There's plenty for everybody. We need to get out there and we need to reach them. We have a great need here and around the world. Four, we need to reach. We need to go like Jonah did, because there is a judgment day. You know, in chapter 1 and verse 2 again, it says, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city. Cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." If you look in Genesis 18, this is the similar language to what God used for Sodom and Gomorrah, that wicked city before he brought fire down from heaven and destroyed the place. And then if you look over into Jonah chapter 3 and verse 4, here's what Jonah shared when he went. Here was his message. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That is, destroyed. 40 days. And folks, whether we like it or not, there is a judgment for this world. There is a judgment for Olive Branch. There's a judgment for DeSoto County in the United States. There is a judgment for our world, and there is a judgment for every individual someday. There is a terrible place. We don't like to talk about it, but there is a hell. And that's where lost people are going if we do not warn them, if we do not share the gospel with them. And then five, we need to go because God can give us the victory over our fear. Now, God told Jonah to go, but look in chapter 1, verse 3. It says here, "But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." To Tarshish. Now Jonah went, all right, God said, "Get up and go." Well, he got up and went, but he went the wrong way. And so, wrong way, Jonah. You know, Nineveh was 500 miles east. He was going to Tarshish, probably the one in Spain, by Gibraltar, which was the end of the earth. When you went beyond that point, you fell off the earth, you know, that's the end of you. 2,000 miles away. So he said, "I'm not going to Nineveh, 500 miles east. I'm going to Tarshish. I'm going to get as far away from the will of God as I can." And you all know how that ended up. Now, why didn't Jonah want to go? Well, there are a lot of reasons. But I think one reason is fear. Now, folks, just think, who was God sending Jonah to? To Nineveh, to the Assyrians. Do you know the Assyrians have been called by one Jewish archaeologist the Nazis of their day? They were extremely wicked. The king in chapter 3 and verse 8 tells the people in Nineveh to stop your violence. It was a violent city. It was a cruel city. We have records from archaeology of the atrocities committed by these people. They enjoyed skinning people alive and burning children, dismemberment, cutting off noses and ears and tearing out tongues and gouging out eyes and decapitating people, impaling people like popsicles all around the place. These were a cruel, cruel people. And I think if Jonah wasn't just a little bit nervous about that, then I hardly think he was human. And so before we condemn Jonah for his disobedience, I want to ask you a question. How would you feel if God told you this morning, "I want you to go over to North Korea, and I want you to tell that Looney Tunes guy there in North Korea who just killed his uncle, killed others in his family. I mean, this guy been purging everybody, just put a sentence of death on, 33 Christians just a week or so ago. I want you to walk in there and tell that guy, just look him right in the face and tell him, 'Hey, yeah, 40 days, and my God's going to destroy Pyongyang. You know, God's going to wipe you out.' You want to do that?" I hardly think you would. I think you'd be a little nervous about that. And so I think if there wasn't some kind of fear, then Jonah just wasn't human. Now listen, today people who go face a dangerous world. Missionaries, just in the last 10 or so years, we've lost 7 Southern Baptist missionaries. 4 have been killed in Iraq, 3 in Yemen. And so it is a dangerous world in which we live today. It's a dangerous world to go and share the gospel. And so there is fear. We have to overcome it. God helped him to overcome it, Jonah to overcome it. He'll help others to overcome it, and he'll help us to overcome it. Now listen, we don't face martyrdom in this country like some people face around the world. By the way, the figure of martyrs doubled last year from the previous year. Christians who were martyred for their faith. And so we don't face that, and I hope we never will. But I think one of the primary reasons why Christians don't go out and share their faith today is still because of fear. It is frightening to talk to a stranger about the Lord. Sometimes it's more frightening to talk to a family member or a neighbor or someone we know, a classmate or a coworker about the Lord. But fear is natural. Everybody has a little bit of that, but God helped Jonah to overcome it. And God can help us to overcome it as well. And listen, I know every believer is not going to be a great door-to-door evangelist. I know that. But I want to tell you this. Certainly every Christian, anybody, can leave a track for that waitress. And they'll read those things. Did you know that? Certainly every Christian can leave a track for the waitress. Everybody in this room can invite someone to come to church where they can hear the gospel. Everybody in this room can invite somebody to come to this revival meeting this week where they're going to hear the gospel. And some of those people are going to come to Jesus Christ, and you'll have a part in seeing that person come to know the Lord. And everybody can give and support missions in various ways. All right, let me move this out. All right, number six. And I only have 34 points. I heard of a preacher who preached a sermon with 34 points. And so the next week he said, this morning, since I used so many points last week, today the sermon will be pointless. But just hang on with it. Number six, we need to go because God cares for lost people. Now, you know, for Jonah to go in there and say 40 days and Nineveh would be destroyed. Boy, it sounds so harsh. It sounds so terrible. But folks, think about it. Even that was an act of God's grace, God's warning to those people. The fact that he gave them 40 days implied that there was hope, that there was the possibility of repentance and forgiveness, and that they could be spared. And then if we look at the end of the book, just flip over to chapter 4. Of the book. Here, if you read verses 9 through 11, you see at the end, the people did repent, at least out. And so they repented. And so the temporal judgment was postponed. And Jonah was upset about that. You know, you think, oh, he's so excited these people have repented. No, he wasn't. He was upset about it. He was angry about it. And so God speaks to him. And God says this. He said to Jonah in verse 11, Jonah, in the previous verse, he said, you know, I sent a little plant to give you shade. He's sitting out there in that rocky sun, hoping that God's still going to bring fire down and destroy Nineveh. You know, a rock, the temperature gets to, 120, 30 degrees out there in the summer. And you can imagine Jonah, he's just out there just boiling. He was just angry as he could be. So God sent a little plant to give him shade. Well, the plant died, and that just made him madder. And so this is where God jumps in. God said, and should I not pity? He said, you had pity on that little plant. In other words, you cared about the plant because it affected your personal comfort. But he said this, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and much livestock. God said, listen, Jonah, you may not care about these people, but he said, I want you to know that I do. I care about them. I love these people. And by the way, before we criticize Jonah and his unfeeling and his unconcern, how about us? When was the last time we prayed for a lost person by name? When's the last time we shed a tear over a lost neighbor or family member? When was the last time that we shared the gospel with someone trying to see, hoping that they would receive Christ and come to know the Lord Jesus as their Lord and Savior? God said, Jonah, you may not care, but I care about these people. What a rebuke. And I believe the fact that Jonah wrote this book indicates that he did repent. And that's the purpose. That's the reason he shared the book with us. And folks, one reason we don't have revival in America is not because conditions are too difficult. They're certainly not more difficult than Nineveh, I guarantee you. But it is because, as someone has said, we have too many dry-eyed Sunday school teachers, too many dry-eyed deacons, too many dry-eyed preachers who really don't have a burden. I mean an overwhelming burden like the Apostle Paul had for souls. And like Jesus said, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. People who are going to put him to death, but he wept over them. He wept because they wouldn't come to him and be saved. Well, I want you to see quickly, we need to go because of the urgency of the hour. 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah's mission was urgent. Nineveh was running out of time. And notice the warning only appears once in the book. It was their only warning. It was their first warning. It was their final warning. And friends, the hour is urgent today. Christ is coming. He is coming, I believe, soon. Now, I don't know a date, but I just believe that we're living in the general times, and they indicate that Christ's return is not too far away, maybe sooner than we think. And regardless of your eschatological, that is, end times persuasion, our world cannot go on much longer than the way it is. If I were an atheist, if I didn't believe one word of the Bible, I would still believe that unless something changes, time for planet Earth is drawing to a close. And just yesterday I checked, this group of scientists come together, and as you know, you've heard of what's called the doomsday clock. These aren't a bunch of Baptist preachers, by the way. It's not Hal Lindsey setting this thing up. These are just secular scientists and people in various disciplines who look at world conditions, and they move that hand back and forth closer to midnight or farther from midnight. It is set, as I speak to you, at 5 minutes till midnight. Our time is running out, and it's running out for individuals as well. Some people, whether Jesus comes this year or not, this is the last year they're going to be on planet Earth. And then the last thing is because some people, if we'll go, if we'll share, some people will repent. Now, certainly the people of Nineveh outwardly repented and avoided temporal judgment. Now, I believe that some of those, though, experienced true saving faith. And if we are faithful in sharing the gospel, we will see people come to Jesus Christ as well. You say, people don't want to hear. Well, maybe that's what Jonah thought. They don't want to hear. But they did. They said, they won't listen. Again, maybe that's what Jonah thought. But they did. They did listen. And so, sure, there are people who don't want to hear the gospel. There are people who don't want to be saved. But there are people who do. And if you'll talk to them and share with them, some of them are going to come to know Jesus Christ. Years ago, and I'm through. You're glad of that, aren't you? All right, I think I've gone longer than you probably normally go. Okay, so fire me. I won't be back, though. Yeah, but years ago, I was a student at Mid-America, and at Mid-America, we require that all of our students witness to at least one person a week. It's training. It's to help people to learn how to do that. We get students who have never witnessed to anybody. And preachers and staff members need to know how to witness to people. And so they have to do it. And so Dr. Allison also feels that if people do that for 3 years, then hopefully it will establish a pattern that they'll continue throughout their ministry. Well, I was a student many, many years ago when the school was in Little Rock. And so it was on a Monday night, and I was studying, but I realized I had not shared the Lord with anyone that week. So I said, well, I'm just going to go up. And of course, I could have waited and shared with two the next week, you know. But I said, well, I'm going to go up to this corner grocery store, and maybe somebody will be there and I can share. And so I went up there and, of course, bought something. And when I did that, I was talking to the clerk there at the counter. and began to talk to him about his faith in Christ, and he didn't want to have anything of it. He just wasn't interested. And I asked him, again, you know, so many words, I don't remember the exact words, but I asked him if he would like to accept Christ as his Savior, and he did not. And so I turned to leave, and as I turned to leave, standing behind me was a teenage boy. When I went to the store, I'd seen him, you know, come in or back in the counter. And by the way, there wasn't a line of people at the counter. I don't believe in imposing on people's time while they're at work. But this teenage boy was behind me. And this other fellow had said, "No, I don't want it." But I turned to him, and he looked at me, and he said, "I will. I will." And I didn't even really know that he was listening. But he was listening to me as I was sharing the gospel with this other fellow. And so we stepped outside the store, and out there we went through the gospel, made sure he understood it, and he prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Folks, some people won't, but some people will. And God has sent us for those who will. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jonah. We thank you for the story of Jonah and its application to us. And God, help us to be faithful. Help us to share the gospel, to sow the seed. And then, Lord, we know it's up to you. The results are up to you. And so, Lord, we just pray that today, if there's anyone who is not saved or not sure, that they will come and get that settled. If there are Christians who need to come and just do business with you, we pray that they'll come. If there are people who need to come and unite with this church by letter or in some other way, we pray they'll do that. If there are people who need to pray, we pray that you'd give them the freedom to do that as well. And so, Lord, we want to tell you that we love you. And we praise you, and we pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.